And we're on. We're live today with Channel 3 News. Just kidding. Just kidding. I got Haya here with me today. What a lovely name. I feel like I would just tell everybody all day long, yeah, my name's Haya. Like, hi. Yeah, Haya.
Thanks, Molly. So, it's so nice to meet you.
So nice to meet you, too. And I know you, we were talking a little bit before we get started about this deal that we're going to talk about today. And you were saying that the crazy ones tend to find you. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
They do. They do. Yeah. Yeah. And I think I'm like the patron saint or something for the weird deals. But those are the ones, like I always tell people, those are some of the most lucrative deals. Like, so, don't shy away from them, right?
No, no. And honestly, there's a deal type for everyone, I will say. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. People niche down into what they like. So today, this deal is a wholesale deal. So it's a deal that you wholesale, from what I understand?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah,
perfect.
It's a wholesale deal and a JV deal too.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, let's get into it. Let's talk about it. Where'd you find it? How'd you get started in it? And let's talk about what happened with it.
Yeah, awesome. And again, Molly, thank you for having me on here. And thank you, Pace. I know you're not here, but you're here in spirit. So I love everything that Pace does. So I'm really glad to be here and share. So this deal came about because Gustavo, who's also a Sub 2 community member, he brought it to me, and he brought it to me about 2 weeks before the foreclosure auction. So foreclosure was one of the problems stacked on here. So the way that Gustavo and I met was my husband and I were speaking at one of the local Sub 2 events last summer, and I happened to pop into the room that Gustavo was helping people do seller calls in, and he's like, oh, you want to make calls? And I said, no, I'm about to go speak, but let me see your list. He handed me a list, and I looked at it, and I said, oh, this woman on here is dead already. So, and I started talking to him about some other things in Virginia, and he's like, oh, my mind is blown. So fast forward several months, and he said, well, I know how to find people that can't be found, and you're good at probate, so can you help me? This one is going to auction in 2 weeks, and we first have to find heirs for this person and open an estate and get them to sign a contract and all of this stuff and get the auction postponed. So that was
2 weeks, right?
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Oh boy. I would have said that's dead. You did not say that, right?
No, it's just not my nature. My brother, my family, you know, persistence, tenacity, those are two of the qualities I think people who know me would describe me as. And so I love a challenge. And like, if somebody tells me something is impossible, I'm like, well, let me see how I can make it possible. And that's what happened with this deal. And, you know, I think with everything, you have to keep trying and push until the end, like till there's nothing left, you know, that you could possibly do. And so that's what I did. I'm like, if we get it, great. If we don't, well, we tried everything we could. We went ahead. I went ahead and found the heirs. I found them probably in half a day and reached out to them. Nobody answered me. So I called them back again, and I was like, hey, it's the usual, hey, your rich uncle left you some money. You haven't seen him ever or whatever, but just sign this paperwork. And so that was, in summary, the extent of the conversation. But this family's like, oh my gosh, okay, well, we didn't even know the guy passed away, our cousin. And, we were running into a lot of roadblocks because we couldn't get probate done. The one probate officer in this town in Norfolk, he said, well, it can't be done in time for the foreclosure auction to be stopped. So I was like, okay, now what are we going to do? I need this contract to be valid, and it can't be valid if they're not appointed yet. So how else? So I reached out to other people in my network, and a title attorney said something in passing. She said an affidavit, and I was like, wait, what is that? And so I did some research, found the affidavit, and realized that in Virginia, you don't have to open probate. And so I was like, this, ding, 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 this is my opportunity. And the thing with me, when I see a door and a possibility, this is how I niched myself, right? You know, you learn through doing. And I was like, wait, Virginia does this? Let me go do a whole bunch more deals in Virginia. I already do probate. I already do foreclosures. Let me go get them done with affidavits. And so we got the affidavits done. We had someone, boots on the ground, who went to the courthouse, filed it. Because the heirs were in North Carolina and Arkansas. So it wasn't like they were coming. Well, they did come up, but they didn't have to come up. And so you know, we got all of that done. We were pressing the foreclosure trustee from every which way. And finally, I think 10 minutes before the auction, they wrote us to say, hey, we canceled it. So that was the deal. And I think our total profit on this was like 70 something thousand.
Oh
70
my
something thousand.
gosh.
We split. So, and I
So
think from start to finish, go ahead.
tell me about this affidavit though, because I'm just baffled, right? So for me, the only experience I've had with probate is that most of the time it takes a really long time. It's not cheap. You know, it's costing thousands of dollars usually, and you have no guarantee of what the end result would be. So if there is indeed a different error that maybe you didn't find, you know, like there's all these risks and parts to it. So 2 weeks, right, for me is like that's not enough time to get probate done, which is what you said, right? So then you came back to this. But then you said you found something regarding Virginia specifically where you can write an affidavit that says, hey, we haven't started the probate process, but we can prove that we are the heirs. Is that kind of what it says?
That's what it is. And so, the affidavit, basically the way, because I was working with two different types of attorneys in this too. And the way that the estate's attorney explained it to me, he said, whether they file the affidavit or not, the law considers them the new owners of this property. The moment their heir died, they were the new owners. The affidavit only formalizes it. So whether they filed it or not, they were still the owners. And so I was like, okay, great. But Virginia is not the only place that does this. And I think a common misconception that a lot of people have about probate, and this varies, the laws have nuances from state to state. I'm sure you know because you've done tons of transactions. There are nuances from state to state, but I think a lot of people think that they have to wait for the entire thing to be administered before they can do a deal. And that's just not the case in a lot of places. You can actually, I know in Maryland, for example, where I did deals for a long time, that's where I'm based. As long as the person has a letter of administration, we could go ahead. I don't care if probate took a year or two, five, whatever after that, as long as we have that letter, they were good to go and sign a contract and get a deal done. And it's similar in other states too. You might have to petition the court for the right to sell, but you still don't have to wait for the entire estate to be administered. So I think that's a common misconception that people have. And the other thing too that, you know, I hear people say, oh, well, let me go pull probate lists, et cetera. And a lot of the deals I work on, if I went to pull probate lists, these deals would not be on there because they didn't file for probate. So, you know, it's like I've heard a lot of people, investors say, you know, sellers have told me, yeah, I got calls from investors and they told me basically, when you figure out the probate stuff, call me back and then we'll do a deal. And I'm like, you just completely missed an opportunity. Because if you understand probate well enough, you can be the shepherd, the guide walking this family through probate. And by the time it gets to be public record, once they filed, you already have a contract. So, you know, it's a missed opportunity for a lot of people.
That is such an interesting opportunity that I honestly, I had a, we don't do a whole bunch of probate deals, right? I think Pace used to do them probably a lot before, but we don't personally do a ton of them. And so I wouldn't call myself a professional with probate, but the times I've had experiences with it to have it finalized, which isn't what you're even talking about, to have it finalized takes a while. But that brings me to another question. If you sold this now, because obviously you didn't keep it, you sold this, you helped sell this property, right? You got a contract and you sold your contract to an end buyer. The end buyer bought it like it was deeded from the heirs to them, right? Was there a deed then in between there, or does the affidavit kind of skip that deed process?
It skips the deed process, at least in Virginia. It differs in other states. So, for example, we're working on a deal right now in Michigan, and Michigan allows you to use affidavits as well. Theirs is actually, I think, even simpler. But you do have to, so for example, we would have to do a quit claim deed because the person who we were working with was a step down from the priority level of someone who would open probate. And, you know, Michigan law says, I think it's after 62 or 63 days, anyone in the family can file, whether regardless of their priority. And so, but in that case, they would have had to do a quit claim deed. to deed their interest to this person we were working with, mm-hmm. and then she could go ahead with her affidavit. So it would have been a two-step process, but I think it's important. Everybody might not get excited about reading the law, but I think if you understand the law, that's where you can recognize a bunch of opportunities.
Yeah. The loopholes, yeah. per se. That's how we do it. I mean, that's how sub two exists, right? How can an attorney work on a sub two deal, right? How can we do these things? These are loopholes. Mm-hmm. These are things mm-hmm. that people with creative minds can come to. So I know you've been in, so it's been about a year now. You've been in sub two, right?
Yeah. Almost.
What brought you here? You're so knowledgeable. What brought you here?
So I've actually been wholesaling for a decade. June is going to be a decade. And I love wholesaling. I know some people say, oh, you should graduate away from it. But for me, my brain loves to be active and I love to problem solve. And wholesaling allows me to do that. Now, I don't do every part of the wholesaling business like I did when I first started. You know, we have our team members who do certain parts. But I love talking with people. I'm actually a certified life coach. And so I had a coaching business before. And so that, I think that comes in really handy in talking to people. And I love that. I love serving. I love helping. I love like uncovering problems, putting puzzles together. But it came from doing this for 10 years. And then funny enough, my husband and I bought our house subject to in 2019. And I learned about subject to very, very like top level, not very detailed. Didn't really understand it very much when I first learned wholesaling. So I used to write my LOIs with three offers. One is a subject to offer. Didn't really know what that meant, but I wrote the letter anyway. And so after, you know, my brain didn't click in 2019 that, hey, we should bring this into our business. But we were doing wholesaling. We had our short-term rental, mid-term rental business. And I said to my husband, I said, we really need to start holding things. And I don't want to wait till we've got $1 million in the bank to start getting properties. So how can we do this? And you know, I was in Astro Flipping with Jamil, and I know Jamil and Pace are best buddies, and kept hearing about Pace. And I was like, well, let me check out this Pace guy. And I was like, oh, he's fantastic. This is exactly what I want to hear. I'm all in. And that's how come we ended up here.
Audio commercial, get creative for sub two students to join pacescommunity.com. Hey, while you're listening to this episode, do you ever think, man, I'm sick of everybody else winning at the game of real estate using all these creative finance strategies that Pace has obviously taught them? They've obviously joined a community of people that are collaborating, helping each other, being go-givers, meeting up in person, going on appointments with each other, showing each other how their businesses work, and filling all the gaps of understanding in each other's brains. Well, if you are ready to make a change in your business and actually get the traction that you've been praying for, hoping for, thinking about, and making goals all around, the best way to do that is join a community of people helping people. Go to joinpacescommunity.com to get started.
Mm-hmm. There, it's that part of you that wants to find a way no matter what, right? And that is something that I think a lot of wholesalers have, number one, that persistence, that grind, that drive. Mm-hmm. You know, that is the epitome of a truly successful wholesaler. But then the tenacity on top of that to have the knowledge that you have to understand certain laws in certain areas, to then have a one-up in probate scenarios, to be able to pull that subject to card out of your pocket and be like, we could do this, you know, like that is absolutely a whole other ball game, right? A whole other aspect to it. I come from the traditional real estate world where I was just a realtor that followed all the rules. And checked all the boxes, dotted all the I's, crossed all the T's. So it's very different from the world that I came from. And it's been so rewarding watching people like you grow into this world and just take lemons and turn them into lemonade, because that truly is what you do. So, you know, I feel like we could talk about so many different things, but I want to talk more about your journey here. And like, have you, when you got into subject two, and now when you talk about subject two, do you run into any obstacles that you feel like are common things that people run into that, you know, obviously you're talking about probate as obstacles, but even subject two transactions in general, sometimes I'll run into attorneys that are like, you can't do this. You're not allowed to do this. And I'm like, okay, you seem like one that would be like, no, I'm going to show you how we can do this. You know, like those are the things that I love hearing about. So are these same things that you've experienced in your journey through this part of the real estate world?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, regardless of which part of investing you go through, there's going to be some naysayer in there just because they haven't done it. And you're right. Yeah, meeting attorneys, title companies will say you can't do this because they've never done it. And I think that, you know, drives people away. But yes, that is something we've encountered. And also the kind of, I think people are conditioned to think that everything is a scam these days. And there are a lot of scams out there. But, but I think, you know, the automatic thought that a lot of people have when they hear about this, if they're not in this investing space, is I'm going to get scammed, you know, like, because the person on the other end is going to do the worst and they're only in it for them. And I think a part of it, regardless of the type of business niche that you're in real estate, especially with Subject Two and all these creative type deals, it's building the trust and rapport is key, you know, with anybody, any of the stakeholders, whether it's the homeowner or the attorneys you're working with, whoever, you've got to build the trust with them and you have to show them that you know what you're doing, or at least you're honest enough to say, I'll find out, you know, or I don't know and I'll find out. I think, you know, just helping people to get past that obstacle of it's fake is the biggest step.
Also, what you just said is key. A lot of people who get into wholesaling feel like they have to be secretive and they don't want to be as transparent or as honest as they could be. And I don't get that vibe from you. And that's really what makes the most successful wholesaler, the most successful real estate professional in general, is somebody who knows they need to disclose everything about their involvement and how they're buying things and what their business model is. And so from your aspect as a wholesaler, do you feel like when you come into a scenario, like obviously you introduce yourself to these people in Virginia as an investor, right?
Right.
Where they knew probably all along your goal was to, you know, cut up, carve out your own little piece of this and sell it to somebody else, right? All along.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that wasn't hard for you to do that, right?
It's not hard. You know, one of the things, so I'm going to say this, I think not everybody will be on the same page because everybody's different, but entrepreneurship for me has been a journey, not just about making money and entrepreneurship. It's a faith journey too. And for me, you know, at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, I have to maintain my integrity. And what, if I die today, I need to be able to stand before God and say, well, I didn't screw a whole bunch of people over. So, you know, that honesty is really important to me. And actually, I tell people too, sellers, I only want to work with people who are going to be honest with me as well. So if you think you're going to, you know, like do something shady, I don't want any part of it. I don't need this deal, you know, that badly. And I think that's, you know, a lot of people are afraid of rejection, or what other people are going to think. And it's not that I don't care what other people are going to think, but I know what my values are and what I want for my life at the end of the day. And I know that I'm here to help other people. I'm here to serve. And so I go in, if someone doesn't want my help, well, that's their loss.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell them what I'm here to do. So, yeah.
So is your goal to just stay wholesaling then? It sounds like that's what you want to do. You're going to just stay wholesaling stuff, but you have some of your own personal assets. Give me a rundown of what the portfolio of Haya looks like, right? So a lot of wholesale. Well,
yeah, a lot of wholesale deals. We're working on actually holding more properties because one of the things we spent, I look back at our P&Ls over the last few years. We spent a lot of money on our STR business, like probably, I don't know, close to $1 million. And yeah, we had several units and, you know, furnishing these units, operational costs, all that stuff. But we were doing it rental arbitrage. And I try not to live in the past, but I'm just like, I would do that differently now, you know, if I'd met pay sooner, if I'd thought about that sooner, we probably would have done it a different way. And so not that we're backtracking and trying to make up for lost time, but we know what our mission is now. It's to acquire stuff, not just control the real estate, but actually own the real estate, because we have our own stuff, but we want to own the assets we don't live in. You know, we're not going to vacation in any of that stuff.
Yeah. So. Sounds like you started where a lot of people start, which is let's just get cash flow, right? So But you're saying to offset that, you spent a lot of money in on furnishings and on, you know, holding costs and things like that, right? And so you spend a lot of money in, you do usually get a lot of money back out, but then it's just cash, right? So you don't have any offset depreciation then if you don't have assets with that. So I'm sure that part of it
was
an epiphany that you came across, like, this is great, but it would be even better if we balance this a little bit, right? So do you not have any more short-term rentals? You got them all, they're all done?
We're actually shutting down our last one at the end of this month. And so, you know, I think also for my husband and I, we're at a different stage of our lives. And yes, we have our team that can do this stuff, but personally, I don't want to worry about guests anymore. I don't want to really think about that. We've experienced a lot more scammy people and bookings and stuff lately. So I'm just like, I'm not at a state in my life that I really want to deal with that, because yeah, we can have the team deal with it, but we run the company. So ultimately the buck stops here. We can't just ignore it. And we just don't want to do that, you know, anymore. We've had some big life changes over the last, I'd say, couple of years.
Mm-hmm. So true. You know, we have a little sprinkle of everything, right? Short-term rentals, lots of long-term rentals, same issues there, right? Tenants and all the things that go along with tenants. Probably in your experience, you're maybe having a better experience with long-term rental tenants, sounds like.
You know, when I first started, in wholesaling, I ended up owning two condos free and clear from my deals. And we're not talking about that deal, but I think I kind of have had a fear since then, because I had this one tenant who was really crazy. And I was like, I don't want to be a landlord. So I sold the two condos, and I did, like, from then on, I was like, my husband's like, well, we should get properties and be a landlord. I was like, I don't want to be a landlord. So, you know, I think there are different ways to do it now that we've been exposed to so many different paths of real estate. I think there are different ways to do it where we don't necessarily have to have a, you know, like a long-term tenant living there. We could do storage units or whatever else. There's so many other things we could do. And so we're exploring all of those different options now and looking for the fit where, you know, we can adapt the systems we've built in both businesses onto a new kind of business, because we've built a lot of systems that work well. And so how can we build that without driving ourselves crazy?
Yeah, that is the key, right? How can you build and scale without driving yourselves crazy? Honestly, I think building any business, it doesn't matter if it's a real estate business, it doesn't matter if it's a any type of business, at some point you're going to be driving yourselves a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that can be totally avoided, but you have such a beautiful energy and soul to you. Like, I honestly feel like life coaching is exactly what you should have been doing. You give off very good vibes. So this is obvious why you do so well in this industry, where you have to be good with people, right? Mm-hmm, and so that's really what it comes down to. I think what I've learned talking to you throughout this session is that honesty is the best policy, so that one day when you meet your maker, you can feel good about what you've done with your life, right? Number two, making sure that you're doing what's in the best interest of everyone and finding the most creative ways to do that, whether it's subject to probate loopholes through affidavits in specific states or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. That's how you've gotten to where you are. Is there anything else that you would want to say to somebody who is looking to join this world, or maybe not finding their place just yet, because this is a wandering path of figuring out where you belong? And I feel like you're just secured where you are right now and so knowledgeable, but there's a lot of people that aren't.
Yeah. And this is something that I would always tell my coaching clients too, back in the day. And I say the same thing to people now. There's so many different paths, as you said, to this industry, but you have to know who you are, at least the starting point of who you are and the things that make you tick, the things that you're going to work hard for, because it's simple. The business is simple. It's not easy. And you have to have a certain makeup to yourself, you know, to be able to get into it and actually make progress in this industry. And you have to really examine yourself and say, okay, what do I really have? What am I good at? What am I not so good at? And do the things that you're really good at, because as you do that, more doors are going to open up to you. You're going to recognize more things. You're going to learn more, because it speaks to your soul.
Yeah. And you'll build those relationships. You know, it's interesting that most of us start out and we don't want to delegate. We don't want to find team members. It's kind of like not wanting tenants, right? Like, I don't want these things, but it is necessary to grow and scale and get to where you want to go. And so that's a skill in and of itself to learn. Is learning how to work with people that have different traits than you, because they have different strengths than you, right? Mm-hmm. And that's something I had to learn in order to get to where we are today, is like, we couldn't do all of the things that Pace wants to do without having a very large team of different personality types and people with different strengths. And so knowing what your strengths are, and knowing how to harbor those within all the scenarios that you're putting yourself in, and then helping other people that have different strengths, is how you get to a higher place, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I also say, don't be greedy, because you make a lot of money in this space, but I think a lot of people are so focused on that, they forget everything else and they just go after the money. I mean, I love making money too. Yeah. But you don't have to have every cent that is on the table, and then at the expense of other people. So I think, knowing who you are, don't be greedy. And also, everybody's posting about what they're doing. A lot of people are posting about what they're doing, but don't try to emulate everybody. I mean, you're just gonna get lost.
Find your own path. Find your own path. Really hone in on who you are and what you like to do. And, I come from the TC side of the world, obviously. And so there's so many people that come into this investment world because they want to be involved in real estate. Mm-hmm. And they don't find their space because they're like, I don't like talking to people on the phone. I don't like closing deals. I don't like closing all those things. And then they find TC work and they're like, finally, I found the spot.
This spot. So you
guys will figure it out as you go along. You'll figure out what works best for you. And it's just been really nice to meet you and hear your story. So
Likewise.
Thank you so much for spending this time with me.
Thank you, Molly. I really appreciate it. And I'm excited to meet you. It's great. I've heard so many great things about you.
Oh, thank you so much. This has been really, really great. So you have a wonderful rest of your day. And I think the team's going to talk to you again later, right?
Taya said, yes, something like that. We're going to be doing something else later.
Yay! Well, that'll be so fun. Thank you so, so much.
Awesome. Thank you, Molly. Take care. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Get Creative Podcast. We hope you found it both informative and inspiring. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and stay tuned for more exciting financial insights. Until next time, keep those creative ideas flowing and get creative.